Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Protestant Sprawl. I've got an exciting show for you today. I have a special guest in the studio, Brother Oliver Areza, Evangelist Oliver Areza from West Virginia, and we're going to tell you about him in just a moment. I want to read a verse for you to get us started in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. This is quite a verse here. I want you to hear this. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. We're going to talk a little bit about Israel today with our guest and a few other things. I think you're going to enjoy the program. Stand by. Hey, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Protestant Spotlight. Have a guest in the studio, as you can see. This is not Brother Areza. This is not Brother Hiltabiddle.
Thank you.
And this is Brother Areza, Oliver Areza. You're in West Virginia, right?
Correct.
All right. West Union or something?
West Union is in north central West Virginia. We're between two larger towns. To the east is Clarksburg. To the west is Parkersburg.
All right.
About 2 hours south of Pittsburgh.
All right. And you and I have a little history in the past. We went to the same college years ago. We weren't there together, I don't think, but you were ahead of me. And you've been in evangelism how long?
About 42 years.
That's a long time. We're getting old, brother.
We are indeed. We're feeling it, too.
We're getting old. I've pastored three different churches, been an evangelist, and doing this now, author. But man, we're on the final stretch, I think.
We are indeed.
And we want to talk to you about that. Tell us about your radio station, because our program, we're on your radio station. Mm-hmm. I think you have three and one on the way, like
correct.
Like you're getting ready to have a baby, right?
That's exactly right.
One on
right.
the way. And she's put that up there for the audience to see. There's three of the stations there. There's actually a fourth one. They're all in West Virginia, right?
Yes, sir.
You want to say a word about that and how they can find you?
Well, we're privileged, really. We love radio. Radio is like the missionary that never sleeps, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're broadcasting the gospel, preaching of the Word of God, good sound music. We've got a nice genre of music, hymns, traditional Christian songs, and we have some Southern-style gospel music, not the industry, but Southern-style. And then we have some Appalachian bluegrass gospel. So we have a very wide variety. You've got a couple of networks that are nationwide that play good music. I don't have a problem with their music, but it's pretty much sacred hymns. It's high church music. So we feel like we're just reaching out to the truck drivers and carpenters and just the common people with the music that we play, and then plus a lot of great preaching.
Yeah, and you're mostly the more conservative kind of preaching and, you know, our kind of guys.
Yes, sir, yeah. All of our preaching, all of it comes from the King James. We're a King James-only radio station.
Good.
And, you know, we know that we're very unique, but I think that people respect it. Number one, Brother Dan, when you're reading from the King James, everybody knows it's the Bible. Yeah. When you're reading from a modern version, they don't know if they're just talking. They sound like they're just talking, that there's no distinguishing from what they're saying to the Scriptures.
Yeah. So in a little bit, we don't have it at the time of this recording, but when my wife will put it in there. I believe we're going to put a scan in there. So have your phone ready. We're going to put a pop-up up there in a little bit where you can get your phone and
It's called a QR code.
A QR code. See, I'm too old.
There we go.
And a QR code is going to pop up. And what you do is you take your phone, your camera, and you put it on camera. And you just put it in front. Get it on that, and it'll pop up. It'll bring his app up, I think. The app?
Yes, sir. Okay. The app, the radio station. We have apps available for Android, Apple. I'm just an evangelist. I don't have Apple. I've just got Android.
All right, so it'll work for either.
That's right.
And what it does is you get an app to where it doesn't matter where you live in the world.
That's right.
You can listen to the program.
You can listen. That's exactly right. And I mean, we have it to where if you download the app on your phone, and you have a vehicle that has the apps available, Bluetooth,
yep.
that our app will pop up right on the screen.
And I know Doc listens to a station that way in mm-hmm. his truck. He has it right in his truck
yes,
there.
Sir.
I haven't done that yet. I'm too old.
Again. Yeah, you know, I mean, these are just other ways to
tools.
Get it out. They are, you know, because, I mean, used to be radio was pretty much regional, but when you added a stream to it, it's worldwide, and we have a very amazing internet listening audience. People are listening, and they hear it in real time. So what's playing right now in West Union, West Virginia, is what they're hearing in Washington State, California, yeah. or wherever else in the world.
All right. Well, let me throw this out to you. There's a preacher. He's in heaven now, Dr. Joe Boyd. You sat under him for a while, mm-hmm. traveled with him some in evangelism. He's the first guy that I remember making this statement. I'm sure others have, and he probably got it from someone before him. But the statement I heard him say was, if you want to know where we are on God's time clock of prophecy, just keep your eyes on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel like that's a valid statement? Do you think how important is Israel in the end time prophecy thing here?
I mean, the Bible is a Jewish book.
It sure is.
Okay. So, I mean, if you want to know what's going on in God's mind and in the world of prophecy, then you have to consider the Jewish people. You have to consider yep. the nation of Israel. And it's pretty prophetical what we see taking place across the world. I mean, we have this tiny little piece of property there, and the whole you don't watch the news, you don't listen to the news without Israel yeah. being mentioned today.
And they say, I think this is true. I mean, I've heard this many times. I've written about it, but there's only one country in the history of the world that ever ceased to be a nation and came back and became a nation again, and that's Israel. And that's pretty substantial
yes,
there.
Yes, indeed.
And pretty miraculous. I mean, World War I, World War II, of course, they really started coming back around, World War II, just before World War I there, and you got the taking of Jerusalem there with Allenby and all that. Pretty interesting stuff there. And that kind of, I mean, it's just so much things, the types and things with that, with Allenby taking Jerusalem. Never fired a shot, by the way. Yeah. I mean, they dropped these flyers from a plane. This is 1917, I think. They dropped flyers from a plane. General Allenby had this done. And they printing was pretty rough in them days. And when he signed it, and they made copies of this, of course, his name is Allenby. When he signed it, it looked to them, to the Muslims, it looked like Allah. So here comes these flyers down from the sky, and they're picking. He was trying to get everybody to get out. He didn't want to kill any innocent people. Get out of Jerusalem. Basically, it said something like, get out of Jerusalem now, General Allenby. But when they read it, to them it said, Allah. Get out of Jerusalem, Allah. And when he got there with his army, they never fired a shot. They went right in, took Jerusalem, 1917. So now, of course, that's Great Britain, and that's the beginning of mm-hmm. their having Jerusalem, having Israel, in order to give that to them in 1948, which was going to. So, you know, you got all that happening, miraculous things. So let me ask you this. 1948, I think May 15th, the United Nations declares Israel is now back in the land. It's now their nation. Do you feel like that's the budding of the fig tree, or?
Well, I go back to Ezekiel when you think about the dry bones, and when life is breathed into Israel, I feel like that is the budding. They are a corpse. Okay, they have a constitution. They have gathered together, and they have an army. They have a government, but they have no life. And when you have a budding, there's a life. Something has come from that. So, you understand my take on that.
And I think 1940 is important.
It is a big deal.
I think they didn't have Jerusalem yet. They didn't get Jerusalem until 1967, and that's a miracle in itself. That whole story. Here's how I look at it, and I could be wrong, but I've always said, I think Israel I think the fig tree took root in 1948, and I think it probably budded in 67 with the during the Six-Day War. But that's just my guess. I mean, God knows, that's for sure. But they're certainly there. They're still in unbelief for the most part. They've got the red heifers now. They're wanting peace. They're wanting the temple, and they're looking for somebody. They're looking for their Messiah. And of course, you and I know from the Bible, they're gonna follow the wrong guy. They're gonna follow the Antichrist. He'll become their Messiah, and till the middle.
Yeah.
So, you travel a lot. What sense do you get as you travel and preach at different churches? Do you get the sense that we're in big trouble, our churches, that we're, churches have really lost a lot of?
You know, it seemed like to me COVID ushered in a Laodicean spirit in our churches like never before. And as because I travel and preach quite a bit, it's a question that's often asked me, how do you see the state of our churches? And pretty much, Brother Dan, we're not cold and we're not hot.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the days when our churches were hot.
Yeah.
And, I preach in some churches that are cold, But for the most part, we're pretty in a lukewarm state right now.
So, why do you see this happen? Why do you think it's happening?
Well, it's probably several factors that bring it back. I think one of the things is that people have been mesmerized with technology and cell phone technology, and we never get away from anything anymore. It's a 24 news cycle. We know everybody's business.
Yeah,
it's kind of a comparison. We're just dull. All right, we just like know too much.
Yeah,
we're just like flooded with all this stuff, and we just cannot seem to get away from it. And it hasn't. I'm not saying that it's not a tool. It can be used as a tool, but for the most part, it's just lulled us. It's lulled us into a a slumber. It's not a good condition to be in.
We seem very mechanical now. It's everything is scheduled. I mean, I call churches sometimes, to offer to come and share some prophecy or something. And sometimes, we're scheduled for 2 years out. We can't even think about having anyone. It seems like we've scheduled God right out of the church. And it used to be the pastor would, feel like his people need something. I'm gonna schedule revival. I'm gonna bring somebody in. But I guess now we got to look at our schedule. Oh, we can't. We need revival, but we don't have an opening for two years. I mean, there just seems like there's something wrong with that. We've become a business instead of a church.
Well, I think probably, looking at it as an evangelist, if there are certain people that you want to get, sometimes you have to go out long periods of time. But I do think, on the other hand, a pastor needs to look and say, listen, my church needs something. Mm-hmm. And so let's either preach it myself or bring in another man, but we just need to listen to the Lord. That's really the key.
Yeah.
Is we just have to listen to the Lord's help. I mean, I'm with in Dr. Hilterbiddle's church this week, and we're concentrating on revival. And we've had a wonderful day. We had a wonderful start of it, had people saved, and the altars were full. And I think that I think that this, and once again, the pastor sensed it and brought me in. We talked about what the week was going to be about, and he wants to concentrate on revival. And, Brother Dan, when I think about revival, when I think of revival in the New Testament, what I see is like, for instance, the Church of Corinth. We know that it was a very worldly, carnal, divided church. Mm-hmm. They were wrong on the Lord's Supper. They were wrong on baptism. Now, there's some that say if you're wrong on the Lord's Supper and baptism, you're not even a church. But Jesus didn't kick them out, did he?
No.
They were still a church. And the Apostle Paul, the first epistle, that first letter was pretty scathing.
Yeah.
But they had a revival. They had a rebound. As a matter of fact, in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, he said, you've abounded in faith and utterance and knowledge and your love to me, and I pray you abound in this grace also. So Those are the kind of the mm-hmm. revival meetings that I am a part of, okay? I don't necessarily have to, I think all of us have to be careful that we look to modern history. We look to biblical history. Let's find out what kind of revival that the church has experienced in the New Testament. Amen. And that, so that church of Corinth, they were revived. They came back to life. The churches of Galatia, what happened? They had let bad doctrine come in. Yeah. So, man, Paul got them back on. I think that that would be a revival. There were other churches that needed to get back for hospitality, loving each other, loving the brethren, for evangelism. So evangelism and revival in our churches, I think it needs to be like there are areas that we need to be revived in. And just saying we need reviving, it's such a broad term.
Yeah.
Let's narrow it down. Let's get it in a very practical sense. And let's pray and ask God to move in our hearts, preach the Bible, and we respond to it.
Yeah.
And those are my thoughts about that.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on revival? What's the purpose of revival and the evangelist?
Yeah. Well, an evangelist is, he's certainly different from a pastor. I've never pastored a church before. I take that back. I was a pastor of a church for 3 months.
Okay.
So you don't really do a whole lot in 3 months. And my mentor, Dr. Boyd, you know, one of his prerequisites was you take one of our chapels and you pastor it. And I want to see if you can win men to Christ and baptize men in your church. If you can't do it, I'm not going to recommend you. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That's how stern he was about it.
Yeah.
He wanted us to be able to win men to Christ and be able to get them into the church there and disciple them. So that's all the pastoral experience I have. Yeah. I've done some other interim helping some church with difficult times. So as far as pastoring, I don't really have pastoral experience. So as an evangelist, a pastor's a shepherd. An evangelist would be more like a sheepdog. We come in barking and growling and biting, and we rally everybody around the pastor and get back to your duties. And let's get the job done.
That's a good way to put it. I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. And I think of an evangelist, and I've done both. I've been a pastor mm-hmm. 3 times. I've been an evangelist. I think an evangelist sees things that the pastor doesn't see, because you get immune to it. You it's kind of like the frog on the stove there. The evangelist comes in and he sees things that aren't quite right. And I think that's the importance of that. And and I think it's a shame that pastors are not using evangelists that much. They're using other pastors for the most part. And I don't know, that started decades ago, and it just seems like it's become, you know, my buddy, I got a good friend, he's pastor, I'm going to bring him in. I think, I'm not saying that guy can't do a good job, but I think we're missing, there's an office of evangelist in Ephesians there.
Well, I think, you know, there's reasons for that. You know, I think there have been some evangelists that were self-serving, that took advantage of the congregation, and they hurt the name of the evangelist. So some of what happens today, you know, it is evangelist fault. Now, I was trained under a good evangelist. He was a local church evangelist, and there were things that we were taught that were, you know, that helped me to see. Now, I'm not the kind of evangelist that goes in and trying to correct everything that I think the pastor's not doing. I will listen to him, and then I will look, and the Lord will just speak to my heart mm-hmm. about what I need to preach, and just preach the Word of God. And I'm not going to hurt a church, though. I'm not going to go in. If what I'm preaching is going to hurt a church and they don't take the same stance that I have in some areas, and if I feel like I would possibly hurt, then I'm not going to go to that church.
I agree.
Because I'm not going to tear that church up. That pastor's done too much sacrificing
for an
evangelist to come in.
Even if you're right and he's wrong, you're not going to help anything.
That's exactly right. So I don't believe in that. I'm not an evangelist that preaches doubt. Okay, I'm not trying to go in there and get all the members saved.
Yeah.
I'm going to preach the scriptures and just deal with it as the Lord lays on my heart. There's some things I like to do in revival meetings. A lot of times a pastor doesn't necessarily want that kind of meeting. But you know, I'm there to be a lot. And you know this, a lot of times I'm there for the pastor. He needs somebody to talk to, and he needs some counsel. And I'm there for him. And probably, you know, that's a lot of evangelism is that.
Yeah. So let's jump to something that you shared with me about the Bible is coming true. Some verses in John or somewhere. And you mentioned that prophecy has more than one. Jesus used telling the future to get people to believe. Yeah. Share just a little bit of that.
Well, Brother Dan, and I'd like to really speak to the audience about this. I mean, the next time you have an opportunity, maybe you're filling your car up with gas or at the grocery store, just the person that you're talking to, just simply say something like this. Can you see that the Bible's coming true? And I am telling you, it will send a shockwave up their spine because everybody senses that there is something on the horizon. This is not normal. We don't have, it's not just in America. It's not just in the Middle East. But, I mean, we see the distress of nations worldwide. I mean, they're going bankrupt. So Jesus said in the 13th chapter of the book of John, Jesus was telling his disciples that one of you are going to betray me. That's what John chapter 13, anybody knows about it, that they know that's the primary story in that chapter. And he is telling them, one of you are going to betray me. And this is the way he says it in verse number 13. He says, now I tell you before it come to pass, and I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Jesus was saying to his disciples, one of you are going to betray me. I'm telling you what's going to happen, so when it happens, you're going to believe that I am he. I'm the Messiah.
Yeah.
So that's the first time he said it. The second time he said it is in John chapter 14, verse 29, almost the same words, and he says it this way. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Now he was telling them here in this passage about persecution. You are going to face persecution. And he's saying, listen, when it comes, you need to read something into it. You need to read into it that I told you it was going to happen, so I want you to believe. And then once again in the 16th chapter of the book of John in verse number 4, in this passage, Brother Dan, Jesus is telling his disciples that he is going to Calvary. He says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back again. What's he telling them? He is saying, they're going to crucify me, but I'm not staying dead. He's telling them, I am going to rise from the dead. And he says it in chapter 16 and verse number 4. And it says it this way here. It says, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to join him that sent me. And none of you asketh me whither goest thou. So the point I'm trying to make is simply this. God gives us prophecy, and he is telling us what is going to happen so that we might believe. And Brother Dan, there is not another generation anywhere that has the ability to see the prophetic stage being set like never before.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, it is. So what do we take from it? He told us what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Now we see the stages of it happening. Now what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
That you might believe. And so you talk to somebody and you say to them, do you see that the Bible is coming true? And it's like, pow!
Yeah.
Because people sense it.
And even the lost people.
They'll tell you,
boy, Armageddon's coming. Yeah. So they know these facts.
Yes, sir.
They just don't realize, hey, I'm not ready for it. I'm not saved.
That's exactly right.
And of course, that's where you lead into, I guess, you want to tell them, you know, what you need to do to be ready for this.
You know, I saw a clip on Twitter from RFK Jr., and he told a simple thing about Bill Gates. I think Bill Gates is putting 61,000 low atmosphere
satellites.
And he said that Bill Gates believes that he can monitor the entire world, everything that people are doing He's got every square inch of the globe covered. Now, Brother Dan, have we ever been in a time like that ever before?
No.
So is the Bible coming true?
Yeah.
Is time running out?
Yeah.
Do we see it taking place in Israel?
Mm-hmm.
That tiny little country, and it's in the headlines every single day.
It sure is.
The Bible is coming true.
Yeah.
I mean, I drove through Ohio, and I remember I was going to this place. This pastor took me and some other people out to eat at this nice restaurant, and he said, Brother Oliver, this is one of these 15-minute cities. You familiar with that term?
No.
15-minute cities. Well, they're popping up everywhere. In 15 minutes, you have access to everything that you could possibly need to exist.
I see.
You have theater, you have restaurants, you have grocery stores, convenience stores.
Gas,
entertainment, everything.
Hospital.
Everything. You got it right there. Well, Brother Dan, we know that there's not a day goes by where Central Bank Digital Currency, those letters and that phrase is mentioned.
Yeah.
It's a common thing. Central bank digital currency.
Yeah.
Well, we know that currency, digital currency, can be programmed. It can be programmed to not be able to be spent 15 or 20 miles from your house. So I'm saying that the Bible is coming true. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen.
So
when you see it come to happen, you might believe.
That's going to keep people localized in a certain area. They can't spend their money outside.
Digital currency can be programmed. It's programmed to be spent within this little community.
Yeah.
And you try to go outside of it, and your digital currency.
Of course, there's the mark of the beast technology.
Not.
Without the mark,
once again,
no man could buy or sell. They can shut you off. I mean, we saw that with the truckers in Canada.
Yes, we did indeed.
That ought to be a wake-up call. Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Boy, are they here.
Well, Brother Reza, in 20, 30 seconds, tell the audience what they need to do about this, about salvation.
So here's really, when you stop and think about these issues, the one single thought that is most important than anything else is your eternal destiny. And salvation, it's not easy, but it's simple. And as simple as putting every ounce of faith and trust for the forgiveness of your sin and the saving of your soul and what Jesus did on the cross. And God's Word says it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen. All right. Well, Brother Reza, thanks so much for coming on today and coming on the program. And we'll have you again another time. And thank you very much. Folks,
yes, sir.
Till next time, keep your eyes on them skies.